Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 7th of June. Nancy Pearl is with us this hour. Nancy is currently writing a travel book, and she is with us fairly often to talk about all kinds of books. We love having her on the air. Nancy, of course, is our favorite librarian. She is a regular commentator about books on National Public Radio's Morning Edition. She is the author of many books herself, Book Lust and More Book Lust and Book Crush and other books. She became the 50th winner of the Women's National Book Association Award in 2004 for her extraordinary contribution to the world of books. She travels all over the world talking about books, celebrating the written word, speaking at bookstores and libraries all over the country. And we're so delighted to have her with us. We asked for recommendations from you about your favorite travel books and other books as well, books that you may be taking as you travel, or if you're just sitting in your armchair and doing armchair traveling as well. Nancy can give you recommendations for books as well. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Hello, Nancy. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure always, Kathleen. It's so nice to talk to you.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
And those Wisconsin readers.
Yes, and there are many of them who love hearing from you. A couple of years ago, you wrote a thing about armchair travel, and I know you're working on a book on this now, and you said, what an armchair traveler most wants, it seems to you, is to vicariously accompany someone who will do everything that they wouldn't have the nerve to do. I love that description.
And you want somebody when you're reading a book who's not a grouch. I mean, just like in real life, when you're reading a book, an armchair travel book, and you're with that person, you want somebody who can take terrible hotel rooms and missed trains and bad food, to take it in and then say, yeah, that's what happens. And then that helps you get over the bad spot.
Right. Well, you're quite a traveler yourself now, aren't you? I know you do armchair traveling, but you've also traveled a lot.
I have been fortunate enough to travel a lot for work. And for me, somehow that makes a little bit of a difference. It makes it easier. This is what I say in the introduction to Book Lust to Go, which is recommended reading for travelers, vagabonds, and dreamers. I say that in some ways I'm the wrong person to write a travel book because although I do it, I get very anxious about it, so it's not as much fun as it is for other people. But in another way, I'm the perfect person to write a travel book because I've been all these places by a book.
Right. And are there things as you've grown that you do now as a traveler that you wouldn't have had the nerve to do before? Great adventures?
No. I think actually maybe it's even gotten worse.
Oh, no, Nancy. They've gotten worse. But you're older now. It's okay to have great adventures.
I know. And I wish that I were the kind of person who could just, I wish I had been the kind of person who could just have dropped everything and moved to a place, a part of the country that I loved or wanted to live, and just assumed that things would work out. But so far, not.
Oh, you're still alive. You got time.
I know.
Yeah. I know. Somebody was writing, and I'm sure that, when is your book coming out?
It's coming out in the middle of September.
Oh, good. Can't wait. I'm wondering if you include, and I'm wondering what body of work he has. Some people have suggested that Mark Twain's travel writing is some of the best that there is. Is he in your book?
Yes, he is. He is. The one that I included was The Innocents Abroad.
Yes.
Which is so funny and just a delight to read. The book is at the stage now where I get these really, the people at the publishing company are not happy if I want to add another book. But I'm going to try to figure out how to add Crossing the Equator, which is the story of Mark Twain. I believe that's the title. The story of Mark Twain on a book tour that Mark Twain wrote as a result of being on a book tour.
Oh, great.
So that I'm looking forward to to seeing if I can add. But if not, at least I have Innocence Abroad is there.
Well, what are some of the, when I think about travel writing, I guess I think about, and it shows my particular age, not that I'm quite that old, but it certainly was the hip book to read when I was in college, On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Yes, right. And I didn't include that because in Booklust or More Booklust, I did one of the categories on road trips, I think. And so I in Booklust to Go, I made a real determined effort not to include anything that was in the earlier book.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, oh, yeah, On the Road, Travels with Charlie.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Oh, sure, sure.
And, you know, even though one is fiction and one is not fiction, I think that they're both, they both are classics, as is, oh, gosh, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes.
That guy.
Right.
Whatever his name is.
Bill Bryson. Rhonda's a big fan of Bill Bryson. And I think you are, too, aren't you?
I like Bill Bryson. My favorite of Bill Bryson's, which I always reread when I'm going to England, is Notes from a Small Island. And it's one of his, if not his first, one of his very first armchair travel, in which he talks about that he and his wife have decided to move back to his native United States because they have children and they want to, you know, show them America. And he and a friend recreate a trip that they both took about 20 years before going around England. And Bill Bryson is very funny in that book. I mean, he's funny in all his books, but it's a very funny, loving book about a country that he's grown to really feel is his home.
Mm-hmm. Hemingway, do you include Hemingway at all?
You know, I did not include Hemingway. I did include, although I should have included him in the Paris section. I know this is what's going to happen. I'm just going to go, oh, no, how am I going to include
You can't him? Do it to your publisher.
Right.
So, the next book, Nancy, the next book.
But I did include George Orwell.
Because
George Orwell, who we don't think of as a trouble writer at all.
No.
His first novel was called Burmese Days. And it's a very autobiographical novel about the time he spent in Burma in the 1920s, which when it was still part of India, as part of the Indian National Police Force. And I understand from reading yet another book about Burma that Burmese intellectuals believe that all three of Orwell's best-known novels, Burmese Days, Animal Farm in 1984, are actually a history of Burma.
Oh.
And it's so interesting because then when I started doing more reading about Burma and more reading about George Orwell in Burma, and there's a wonderful book by Emma Larkin called Finding George Orwell in Burma. And her writing is great. You get a feel for the country that, because of the political events there, we don't get very much news from. And she just really, as soon as I found that book, I knew I had to add a new section on Burma, which I did.
You know, your interests are so wide-ranging, you never fail to amaze me. Burma! Who would have thought Burma?
I know, and of course we're making a political statement just by saying Burma and not Myanmar.
Right.
So that is it. And that's the other thing that was really interesting to me in this book is in writing this book is how much of what I choose to include or not include or how much of what I call the sections really has political implications.
Hmm.
And I did a section on imaginary travel to imaginary places and wonderful poems about travel. Oh my gosh, this is a fun book to do, but it was very hard to stop.
But there can always be another one, Nancy, so it's okay.
Oh, but I think if I finish, I mean, this is done, but I think this has to be the last Booklust book.
Really?
I don't think there's anything, I don't think I can capture that, you know, first fine careless rapture, recapture that anyway. I think if I do anything, I'd like to write fiction, but that's so scary.
Oh, Nancy, that's wonderful.
I know, but it's so scary.
No, you'd be, oh, wonderful. It's wonderful. Do it. Will it be in Burma? Who knows where it'll be in that mind of yours.
That would be fun.
Yeah, right. Chrissy Pease, one of our producers, when you were talking about imaginary places, said one of her favorite books is The Little Prince. She's never been to the Sahara Desert, nor the home planet asteroid of the prince, but she adores the book. I did, too, for a while. I still do. I love that book as well.
Yeah, I love that book, too. And that would be a great, that would have been a really good one to add. All right, I'm going to start, obviously I have to start writing these all down.
Oh, I'm so glad you're going to do fiction, Nancy. I'm very excited about this.
It's very scary, Kathleen. I've always had, of course, an enormous respect for novelists and people who do great nonfiction books. But just to do it, I mean, it's just making me very, very, very nervous.
But just think about how well informed you are. Nobody has read as much as you have or absorbed the world the way you have through books. So you're going to write an extraordinary book. I'm convinced.
I hope.
I am convinced.
I hope.
Yeah, you are. All right, let's go to phone calls. We have tons of them for you. Gene in Appleton is first. Hi, Gene.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm wondering if Nancy has any recommendation on a series of books that might focus on the art and architecture in a particular city.
Oh, yes. Any city at all?
Particularly European cities, maybe Berlin or Dresden or England.
Probably one of the best is called Venice Observed.
Venice Observed.
Right. And it's by, and then The Stones of Florence. You can get a lot of really good books that focus on the art and architecture. But these are going to be narratives. You know, these are not going to be travel guides. If you want a travel guide that does that kind of thing, then the DK travel guides are probably the best.
Okay. DK Travel Guides.
Yes.
And Venice Observed,
The Stones of Florence. And then The Stones of Florence.
Great. Thanks, Jean. Connie in Madison. Hi.
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 I'm thinking of two books by a very idiosyncratic author who is, this is Bruce Chatwin, first Patagonia and then The Songlines. And in these two books, one about the southern part of South America, at Argentina and South, and the other about the way in which Aboriginal culture understands geography through singing their geography and handing these sacred songs down. These words that I've just said do nothing to convey how crucially important the traveler himself is, so that these books are not just about places, they are about the person experiencing those places in the way that that particular remarkable temperament of Bruce Chatwin had, of sensitively experiencing, and I don't know, I feel as if I were traveling inside of Bruce Chatwin's mind as much as inside of a country when I read anything by him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bruce Chatwin figures prominently in the new book, and a book that is different from Bruce Chatwin. Oh, first of all, there's a wonderful biography of Bruce Chatwin by Nicholas Shakespeare, which you might want to take a look at, because it would be interesting for you to read that and compare it to what you've taken in from the books that he himself wrote. I found it a little jarring, because in many ways it seemed to be a different person than I had imagined. But nonetheless, it's very, very worth reading. But his book, In Patagonia, I read that, or I reread that, actually, when I read a book by a woman named Sarah Wheeler. Sarah Wheeler is a wonderful traveler, a wonderful companion, and she did a book called Travels in a Thin Country about Chile. And it's just from the very top, from north to south. And all the people she met, the places that she went, the people, the things that she saw. And when I was reading it, I have two daughters, but one is very adventurous, and Katie frequently does things that I kind of wish maybe she wouldn't do. And all the time I was reading Travels in a Thin Country, I was just feeling so sorry for Sarah Wheeler's mother. But Sarah Wheeler wrote another book about her time spent in Antarctica. She was one of the very first writers invited to be part of the group of scientists studying the Antarctic, and this is just so good. She's wonderful. Very different. Very, very, very different from Chatwin, but I found them both terrific. And also, a book that Chatwin, there's a book called by Sybil Bedford, let me try to find it, in which Bruce Chatwin said was the best British travel, was the best travel book ever written. Okay, let's see, let me find it. It'll be. Oh, okay, yes, Sybil Bedford, and Sybil with two L's and an E, and it's called A Visit to Don Ottavio, A Traveler's Tale from Mexico. And it's set right after World War II.
Thank you.
Connie, you want to give Nancy encouragement on doing that novel?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Please just do it.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Connie.
Thank you again.
Thanks. Nancy Pearl is our guest, and she is writing Book Lust to Go, which is going to be released in November, about travel books. She can also recommend books that you should take with you on your travels this summer, because it's a time when, you know, sometimes we tend to read different kinds of things. I know when I'm on vacation, I finally get a chance to branch into some fiction. It's nonfiction all year long, but and not real heavy reads, I must admit to that. So here's our number. Connie, thanks for your call, 800-486-8655. Our email address, talk@WPR.org. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour. Nancy, I have an old one. I can't even figure out who wrote this or when it was written, but you certainly will know. This reporter says that he or she thinks that Charles Dickens may have been the first great modern travel writer. Has Dickens written a lot of travel books?
Dickens did write some travel books, yes. He did. And, of course, they're not nearly as well known as his fiction. But he did write some travel books. Alexis de Tocqueville wrote that. Trollope, and especially Trollope, Anthony Trollope's mother, wrote a book about her travel experiences in the United States. So there are a lot of these writers that we're not, that we don't associate with that kind of thing, but with travel writing, but who have indeed done that. But with Charles Dickens, you could also say that the books, his novels that we read now take us back to Victorian Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't writing travel when he was, those kinds of travel books, when he was writing his novels. But we read them so differently now from the way they were read contemporaneously.
Yeah. I used to love Dickens. I mean, I see Christmas Carol every year. I haven't read Dickens in years, but were you the same way in high school? I just loved Dickens.
I think they gave us the wrong one to read. They gave us A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh.
Which I reread later and liked, but I don't think it's the best one to start with. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's go to Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Scott.
Fittingly enough, I'm rolling down Interstate 90, traveling, even as I speak, but you'll be happy to know I'm not reading at the same time. My suggestion for anybody who likes a good nonfiction writer who has a current book out about travel is a guy named Ted Conover. He's best known for his book New Jack, I think, where he was a guard at Sing Sing for a while, writing about that. But this current book is called Routes of Man. And what it's about, he goes to several countries. I'm just starting into it. And right now he's in Peru, tracing the road that all this very expensive mahogany hardwood that goes to build the fancy work of the wealthy in this country, how it gets there and the paths it takes. And this book, he goes on to several different parts of the world and talks about, like, our highway infrastructure and how it's affected our lives, you know, positively and negatively. In other words, this, a lot of the cultures that it's destroyed, that roads have destroyed, and also the lives they've saved by getting them medicines and things like that. I would also like to mention, and I'm not related to this guy, just like his writing, but you'll think that from hearing me go on and on about him. His first book, which he wrote right after college, was, I think, called Rolling Nowhere or Going Nowhere, mm-hmm. or something about like that. But it was in the, I want to say, mid-late 70s, and he rode with the hobos, hopping freights and riding around the country and living in hobo jungles. Very, very interesting book. So, Nancy, I'm sure you know about him, but I would highly recommend him to anybody who likes that kind of writing.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. All of his books are interesting and do, in fact, take you into different cultures. I mean, his newest book is devoted to exactly what you said. But I think his older books make you kind of feel like you're there in the places that he's writing about. And that's a great talent.
Thank you, Scott, so much for your call. Always a pleasure to hear from you. We have a lot of emails. Let's go to one, Nancy. I'm a member of a book club in which the women are in their 60s and 70s. We're doing The Help next. Any suggestions?
For the book after The Help?
Right.
Have they read Little Bee?
Little Bee.
By Chris Cleave, C-L-E-A-V-E.
Okay.
And then there's also a wonderful novel called Last Night in Montreal.
Okay.
And that's by Mandel, M-A-N-D-E-L.
M-A-N-D-E-L, Last Night in Montreal. Have you read The Help? Several people have recommended that. Did you like it?
I liked it. I think it's going to be, I think it makes for a great book discussion because there's all sorts of issues that can be discussed, including kind of authorial intent. I mean, what she wanted to do in this novel and whether she succeeded, and then why she would choose to tell it from the points of view that she does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the kind of thing that I'm always interested in talking about.
Nancy from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm reading an Oxford World Classic book. It's a reprint of a book written originally in 1766 by
Why?
Tobias Smollett. It's called Travels Through France and Italy. And this book consists entirely of a long series of letters. It took him 2 years to write this book, and, of course, it took him much longer to travel throughout those countries than it would for us to
right.
take that same path today. But what I find especially interesting, his descriptions of the Roman ruins as he encounters them in France and Italy. And, of course, he's discussing what things cost, how people travel, how they dress. I happen to be very fond of France and Italy myself, and I'm a very disillusioned American citizen right now, so I'd like to go to live in either of those two places. And I had not ever heard of Tobias Smollett until I found this book in a secondhand bookstore. So I'm interested in reading some of the other things that the book lists that he had written also.
Now, there's an old book, Nancy. Are you familiar? Are you familiar?
And he is somebody who is again, best known, I believe, for fiction. And I didn't know that. I've never heard of that book, but I have to say that after reading the Donna Leon mysteries, which are all set in Venice, I would not move to Italy. You might be more disillusioned in Italy.
I wanted to ask you this. Somebody, Norman Lewis in the book Naples 44, I wanted to ask you this because we're talking about travel. If you were given a chance to be born again, what would be the country of choice? You've just told me it's not Italy.
I think it would be Australia or New Zealand.
Australia or New Zealand.
Right.
And why do you say that?
I just love those countries.
Hmm.
I mean, every day I open up my email with high hopes that some library group from New Zealand or Australia will invite me back.
Well, now you need to have them invite you for a long stay so you
right.
can write your novel.
That's right. Oh, gosh, wouldn't that be fabulous?
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes.
All right. Nancy, thank you very much for your call. George in Milwaukee is next. Hi, George.
Good morning. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for travel books about Sweden, and I've also got a couple of suggestions. And I think one of my all-time favorite travel books, or not really a travel book, but a book about a place, was Henry Miller, the man who wrote Tropic of Cancer, wrote this fantastic book about Greece called The Colossus of Marousi in 1941. And I think that book probably, almost more than any other book I ever read, really made me want to go to that place. And another thing I would suggest, and maybe you've mentioned this in your new book, is when I travel around the United States, if it's a little bit of a road trip, I usually go to the library and I check out the different states' WPA, Federal
yeah.
Writers Project Guide Series,
right.
because
right.
these are great, even though they're 60 years old, they're 70 years old, they are not Chamber of Commerce brochures,
right.
and they give you a lot of really great information about what this place was like.
Oh, yeah, those WPA guides were wonderful, and what a brilliant idea to do that when the country was in such, to give those writers a job
yes.
to write those. Sweden, you know, the interesting thing is that what we're getting out of Sweden these days are mysteries, are thrillers. Beginning, of course, with Stieg Larsson's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and then following with the next two. So if mysteries are what you like, it's really easy to get books that are set in various parts of Sweden, many in Stockholm, but not all. Otherwise, there is not, from my researches anyway, not a lot of Swedish mainstream novels, non-genre novels. Linda Olson, Olsson, wrote two books, one called Astrid and Veronica with a K, and another book called A Sonata for Miriam, which are both set in Sweden.
Did you go to that spot in Greece, George?
Well, it's really the whole country. So,
it's about the whole country.
It was right. Well, several places in the country, and I did go to Greece after. You know, that wasn't the only reason I went there, but it certainly was one of the great motivators. It just has. It's kind of like first time you ever watched maybe Zorba the Greek. You think, well,
oh, I love that
movie. Bunch of people who really know how to live.
Yes, they really know how to live. Yeah, thanks. I had the great fortune so many years ago of living on a little island in Greece. I was just bumming around and found this island where there were some Americans, and it was, times have changed, Nancy. I had a little room over the Mediterranean with breakfast for 90 cents a day. It was hard to leave. 90 cents a day.
That's great.
Wasn't that great? Oh, that brings back wonderful memories. Thanks, George, for the call. I think that you have recommended this, too, or somebody has. Sherry sent an email, The Sea and the Jungle by H.M. Tomlinson on his trip in 1910 by steamer from England and up the Amazon. Great writing.
Oh, that wasn't me who recommended it, but I can recommend the next books that the people who like that kind of books ought to read. There was an author named Gavin Young, and he wrote, he traveled around the world on, like, tramp steamers.
Oh.
And it's called Slow Boats to China. And it's old, and I had to go online and buy it used, because it's way out of print. But I loved I love that kind of a book. Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, and Naples. I just wanted to say, because you mentioned Norman Lewis's Naples 44. There's a terrific book about Naples by Shirley Hazard, H-A-Z-Z-A-R-D.
Okay.
And she and her husband spent, for over 20 years, they spent a long part of the year there. And this is a book both about the beauties of Naples, and then the second half, which was in the New Yorker, is about an accident her husband was in there. And it's called The Ancient Shore. Oh, it's so wonderful. That book makes you want to go to Naples.
Mm, The Ancient Shore.
Yes.
All right. Great. Karen from Platteville. Hi, Karen.
Hi. When I was in the Air Force in 1969, just before coming back from Europe, I had this adventure in Russia. I went on a German tour, and we met the ambassador because I was taking a carton of Salem cigarettes to him. I was in protocol at the time. And then he sent his car, after we visited with him after work, before dinner, to the ballet. And there's a book that I bought a number of years later called Eloise in Moscow. And it's fiction, but I had almost every one of her adventures in real life years before.
And, of course, that's the book. That was one of the books. The author's name is Kay something. But Eloise at the Plaza, you know, she wrote a bunch of books.
Author.
The same author about the little about that same little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's funny.
The it way is.
Art imitates life even when it isn't your own life.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Karen, so much for the call. Another email, this from Kate in Madison. I'm wondering if you could recommend a coming-of-age memoir for young women. I'm 23 years old. I enjoyed Eat, Pray, Love, but I'm looking for something more applicable to my age and experience.
Ooh, that's... I would have to do some thinking about that. Oh, wait a minute. Now, what is her name?
It's all right. You can
Okay. Let me hold on.
All right.
It's by Sarah Jane Gilman.
Sarah Jane Gilman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just try to find. Oh gosh. Okay. But it's about a young woman, who after she graduates from Brown, Susan Jane Gilman. That's the name.
Okay.
After she graduates from Brown, she and her friend decide to spend the next year traveling around the world, and they're going to do it without 3-star hotels and a lot of money and a lot of suitcases, and this is what happens to them. It's rueful. She's writing this was in 1966 that she took this trip, and she's really looking back on her younger self and showing, and it is a coming of age story.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
That was called Undress Me in the Temple of Heaven.
Ooh, great title. Undress Me in the Temple of Heaven.
Right. I thought the cover was a little bit, was ridiculous. I didn't care for the cover. Let me just say that. I didn't think it gave you a sense of what the book was, but it was. I certainly enjoyed reading it.
And let's go to Chris next from Milwaukee. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to suggest a series of travel books that served me really well over the years, and that's the Lonely Planet series.
Yes, and the nice thing about the Lonely Planet books is that they include books to read about the country that you're going to.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there's a wonderful series of, not guidebooks, but books about various places, a series that Vintage, part of Random House, did called the Vintage Departures series. And I have to say, I've never found a bad book or a book that I didn't enjoy in that collection. So I'd recommend that, too. But that's not going to tell you hotels or anything. That's just going to tell you about the country.
Thank you, Chris, unless you had more. Thank you. We have lines open now. If you'd like to speak with Nancy Pearl, our number is 800-486-8655. Nancy's currently putting the touches, finishing touches on a travel book about travel writing that will be out in September, and she's recommending, and when she thinks of travel writing, it's not just guides, of course, it's books about various parts of the world or people who have done some amazing adventures, and she's giving suggestions, and we're moving a little bit beyond that, too. She can also suggest books for you as you do your travels, either you're in your armchair or wherever you happen to be going in these months of travel. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email address, talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Pearl, our guest, Jean in De Pere, is next. Hi, Jean.
Good morning. Nancy may have answered my question already with her reference to Vintage Departure series, but my question is, members of our family are going to Morocco and China, and wondering if you have any suggestions for either of those countries.
Actually,
fiction or
both.
Nonfiction.
Going to China, any book I think by Peter Hessler would be just a wonderful book about the background to learn about the country. He was a Peace Corps volunteer there, stayed on. Writes for the New Yorker, wrote for the New York Times, I believe, and he has three different books about China. The newest one is called Country Driving.
Thank you.
With Morocco, probably the classic book about Morocco. Now it has just fallen out of my mind, but I will remember it in a second. The classic book about Morocco is Paul Bowles,
and that is B. How do you spell Bowles?
B-O-W-L-E-S.
Okay.
But he's not the only one. Edith Wharton, you know, we were talking about travel books that were written long, long, long ago. Edith Wharton in the early 1900s traveled, in 1917 actually, traveled to Morocco, took a train to Morocco and wrote a book called In Morocco. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. If you want fiction about Morocco, and in a book list to go, I've included lots of books set in various countries. But there is a book called The Last Friend.
Okay.
And the author's last name is Ben, B-E-N dash J-E-L-L-O-U-N.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jean. Nancy in Wausau. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello. That's three.
I know. It's unusual.
Oh, by the way, my favorite Dickens book is Pickwick Papers.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really good travel book. And it also it has a lot about food in it. And then, of course, the two really, really good travel books are the two Ulysses. The Greek.
Oh, and the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Eagles. And, of course, the regular Ulysses, or that's not the regular one, the Irish Ulysses.
Uh huh. Right. So.
James Joyce's Ulysses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And, I have to read that about every 5 years, too.
Do you? Good for you. I've never read it. I try to, and the last time we talked about books, a friend of mine and I were going to read it out loud. Somebody told me you have to read it out loud.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Is that right?
It's you start laughing. And also, she was talking about her feeling sorry for this mother who has an adventurous daughter. Well, I was in the Peace Corps in Ethiopia, and a friend and I went on a vaccinate. We helped wipe out disease, and we went on a vaccination project, and we crossed the Dedesa River in a dugout canoe.
Oh.
And my friend was saying, oh, if my mother knew I was doing this right now, she'd be screaming. So, that's all I have to offer.
Thank you, Nancy. That was a great deal. We just didn't tell our mothers a lot of things.
Right.
Your daughter just needs to not tell you things, and you won't worry.
Right.
Right. Thanks, Nancy, for the call. Tom in Stoddard. Hello, Tom.
Good morning to Nancy and to you, Kathleen. And I would like to know if she has a suggestion connecting traveling with geology. As I travel, I like to know a lot about geology of the area I'm visiting.
Well, the best person for that is John McPhee.
John
McPhee. Who writes exactly about that. And not only that, he writes beautifully about that.
Hmm.
One of the books I liked a lot is about Alaska. You get a sense of Alaska 30 or more years ago. And it's called Coming into the Country. But in general, any of his, wait a second, I'm going to just look up McPhee and just see if I can find the right
How do you
title.
Spell it? Is it?
M-C-P-H-E-E.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Annals of the Former World.
Annals of the Former
of
World.
Four books.
Okay.
That he kind of described as making an epic of the Earth's formation.
Okay.
And he might have some good stuff in a bibliography, too.
Sounds perfect for you, Tom. Thank you. Beth in Waukesha. Hi.
Hi. I feel very humble because I'm going to talk about a travel book regarding the United States after we've been all over the world with some of these other wonderful books. But it's the Reader's Digest, Off the Beaten Path, and it's very good in that it gives you descriptions and good maps of many places in each of the 50 states that you might not ordinarily visit.
Uh-huh.
And we used it recently for a trip into southwestern Colorado and found that the things that we discovered by using this book were just wonderful and not crowded.
Wow. That's great.
Off the Beaten Path.
Yes, by Reader's Digest.
That's a way to travel, except for some of the really big things that you simply must see, where there are going to be a lot of tourists. But it's just a better way to go, don't you think, Nancy?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Beth, for your call. Anne in Pewaukee, hello.
Oh, hi. It's a real honor to speak with Nancy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just calling to ask if you know of any wonderful books about India. I'm planning to go to India sometime soon and have read a bunch of travel books about it, but none really, I don't know, that were stood out.
Okay. This would probably take about an hour for me to tell you all the books about India that you should read. But let me say the first thing that I would suggest doing is taking a look at Booklust and then more Booklust, because I have whole sections on India in there, in both those books.
All right. And
at least
have
in the first one. But the best, but if you want like a sense of a history of India that really gives you a picture of that, if that's the kind of thing that you're looking for. There's a series of books by a man who is now Jan Morris, but at the time he wrote these books, it was James Morris.
Oh, right.
And his trilogy about the history of India is just, I've never read anything better than that. I mean, those three books are on my list of my 10 best books.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this was fascinating. The third one is, I can't remember the names of the first two, but and my alphabet doesn't begin in this room, so I can't look at the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called Heaven's Command. Let me see if I can find the earlier one for you. But have you seen those?
I have not. No.
Okay.
I mean, I've read a lot of fiction. I mean, the Raj Quartet and
yes,
a lot of things, Forrester and a lot of fiction pertaining to India.
Right.
And have had some travel books about it, but
okay,
I will definitely look up James Morris.
Yes, James Morris. Heaven's Command is the first one.
Okay, Heaven's Command.
And actually, I found a great used book website called Thrift Books, thriftbooks.com.
Thriftbooks.com.
And there's no, they don't charge for postage, and the books I found have been very inexpensive. So, but the library should, I hope the library would have those.
Wonderful. But, thank you so much.
And have you read Victor Seth?
No.
Okay. He would be somebody good to read, S-E-T-H. And you can actually, you
like
can actually watch an interview that I did with him. If you Google S-E-T-H and then Seattle Channel, it'll stream over the Internet.
Oh, great.
And then Rohinton Mystery, M-I-S-T-R-Y. He's a Indian, a Canadian, whose family came from India. But Vikram Seth's book is probably the best one. Is A Suitable Boy. Yeah,
all
sorry,
right.
I went back to that one.
Okay.
All right, you're set to go, Ann.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Susan in Menominee Falls says, with the interest in renewed interest in domestic travel, she recommends Battle, Drums, and Geysers, an account of the first explorations of what is now Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting. I do have a lot in this book. I did include individual states and hiking, like hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. That's something I don't think I will ever do, but... many people do. So, yeah, those books are always good to know.
Sandy in Madison, hello.
Yes, I have a recommendation. Great program, by the way. And Who Needs a Road by Stephen Sanfordell. It was written in the 70s, released early in the 70s, and came out again. But it was two travel writers that tried to circumvent the globe.
Oh.
And they do it in 6 weeks, and along the way they get caught in wars and murders, and it ends up taking them, I think, close to 7 months.
Wow.
But, it's a great, you know, one of those books that just gets your heart going where you can't put it down.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yes.
That sounds great. Who needs
but, yeah, Harold Stevens and Albert Podell.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Shirley in Prentice, hello.
Hello, thank you. I wonder if Miss Pearl has heard of this Irish woman's
Dervla Murphy.
Book. Her name is Dervla Murphy.
Yes.
The, her first name is spelled D as in dog, E-R-V as in victory, L-A. And Murphy is spelled the regular way. I've read three of her books. They're just astonishing. I can't imagine any woman or any man having the stamina and courage that she has when she walks through. She follows the Indus River in Asia with her almost 6-year-old daughter.
Ah!
They take no tent, just enough food, and depend on the natives, who are always very generous, very poor, but take her in, and she sleeps on a dirt floor with them in her sleeping bag.
I love Dervla Murphy, and partly I love her that well into her 70s, she was still doing that kind of traveling. And her, many of her books are about traveling by bicycle. Her first book was set in Ireland, I believe, and she rides this trusty bicycle everywhere. And the books have mostly been reprinted fairly recently, so you can get them all at your bookstore or library. But I totally agree with you. She is just an incredible.
Yes, she has her walking stick that when she's attacked by wolves.
Oh,
she carries a gun in her first book.
Oh,
and then she actually went to South India, so our previous caller might be interested in that.
Oh, my. She sounds fascinating.
Yeah, she was fascinating.
Yeah. Thank you, Shirley, very much. And here's another independent woman recommendation. I liked Without Reservations, Travels of an Independent Woman by Alice Steinbach.
Yes.
Reporter for the Boston Globe.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yep.
That's good, too.
Yes, that is good too.
Okay.
But then I would go back to Sarah Wheeler, because you're not going to get any more independent than her.
Okay. Nancy, a great pleasure to have you on the air as always. I'm so excited to hear about your novel.
Oh.
You've said it quite publicly now, so we anticipate that it will happen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Nancy. Nancy Pearl, our guest this hour, and we thank her so much for all of the recommendations. Her new book will be coming out in September, which will be about travel and great travel writing. And knowing Nancy, it will include things from all parts of the world and all different kinds of authors. She's truly astounding. Thanks to Nancy for being with us again, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning, librarian Rhonda Fanning, for being our on-air producer. And thanks for all of your calls, everybody. If you want to post other things on our Facebook page, you can do that. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Some people have already written suggestions, and you're welcome to do the same. Great conversations ahead here on the Ideas Network.